Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Will here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Colts. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob Kravitz from The Athletic. Bob, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Gentlemen, good morning.
We appreciate you coming on with us, Bob. And Bob, let's start with just the pulse of the Colts fan base right now. Obviously, some questions about Carson Wentz as they head into this game, an 0-2 start to the season. How would you describe the reaction in Indianapolis through the first two games of the season?
Hot panic. That's where we are. I mean, not only are they 0-2, but now we don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz. We don't know what's going on with T.Y. Hilton, with Braden Smith, their right tackle. So people are going a little crazy, jumping off bridges. It's pretty dire here in Indianapolis, but we'll muddle through somehow.
Well, I mean, a great medicine for the Colts in whatever state they're in seems to be coming here, Bob.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's 2017. Jacoby Brissett. I think it was a Monday Night Football game. Last time the Colts lost in this stadium, there have been teams, not many. I think like seven teams that have started 0-3 and gotten to the playoffs. How important do you think this game is just for their long term prospects? Even though they do have injuries and could be a much better team at some point this year, and why do you think the Colts have had, I understand that over the years, you're talking about some just a big advantage at the quarterback position, but is there a mental edge, you think, when the Colts come into this place?
Well, I think their mental edge was Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, even Philip Rivers, who played very well last year. Look, this early in the season, I'm not much into must-win games, but this being a division game, I just don't think they can fall too far behind anybody, including the Houston Texans. I never would have thought they'd be any good, but they need to get it right. And this is a tough matchup for them because Tannehill. I still think Tannehill's a top 10, top 12 quarterback. Derrick Henry's a beast. You know, what's going to happen for the Colts is for their offensive line to dominate the game the way they used to dominate games. And that is to run the ball, control the clock, all that kind of thing. And again, we don't know what's going on with Carson. Carson's going to try it out on his two bum ankles today at practice. And we should have a little more clarity either today or tomorrow. But look, if they go in there with Jacob Eason, I'm not coming down and eating barbecue because there's no reason to.
Well, I was going to say, so if Jacob Eason is the quarterback, if you're Frank Reich going into this game, what's your game plan to try to get this done against, as you mentioned, Bob, is such a crucial game for the Colts this early in the season?
Well, you know, you guys know Tennessee a hell of a lot better than I do, but I'm looking at their stats, and they're not very good defensively. And I would suspect that they would try to just, you know, run the ball, a lot of controlled passing game, keep things conservative, make sure he's not in a position to make the big mistake. And they need to play their best game defensively. I mean, they've looked really bad against both Seattle and Los Angeles. While keeping in mind, Seattle won 12 games last year and L.A. won 10 in the toughest division, and they added Matthew Stafford. So, but they have not looked good. The offensive line hasn't looked good. The defense has been a little bit shaky. And now if you're dealing without Wentz, you know, I think prayer is in order.
Well, yeah. What is going on with the defense? I mean, last year watching the Colts here, DeForest Buckner's in that game. They did a great job against Derrick Henry. And then the Titans come back to Indy. No Buckner. Amazing how the running game was working so much better for the Titans. But what is not up to par or up to expectations on that side of the ball so far, Bob?
A lot of coverage busts in the secondary. Kari Willis, who's usually a pretty dependable safety, is, I think, given up three touchdowns, or is responsible or indirectly responsible for three touchdowns. So they've had problems in the secondary. You know, Xavier Rhodes has been out the first two games, and he's been their best corner. You know, Darius Leonard, he's made one big play in each game, but he hasn't looked like himself at all these first two games. Normally, you can count on him for a boatload of tackles, and he hasn't been as active as we're used to seeing him. DeForest has been great. You know, they could use a better pass rush. We keep in mind, you know, with Russell Wilson, I don't care what kind of pass rush you have, he's going to find a way to get away from you. So there's a lot of little things going on with the Colts. And look, if they had been even halfway decent in the red zone against the Rams, that would have been a completely different game. So they're just finding interesting new ways to beat themselves.
Bob Kravitz from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Bob, obviously we've talked about the quarterback position, and that plays a lot into this. But we saw Michael Pittman Jr. have some good moments last year against the Titans. What has Michael Pittman looked like so far this year? And I guess has he taken a step now moving into this season and added to his game?
Yeah, you know, after the first game I would have said not really. But he had his second 100-yard game last week against the Rams. Looked really good. He's really, really physical. A very good blocker on top of being a very fine wide receiver. So I think in due time he's going to be their alpha. But he's got to string some games together. You know, you can't be invisible one game and come up with 100 yards the next game. And especially without T.Y. And I'm not sure how much T.Y. has left, to be honest. I thought that was kind of a silly move, bringing him back, as much as everybody loves him. I thought that was a sentimental move, and you can't be sentimental in this game. But, yeah, I think Pittman is he's starting to show that he could be the number one guy, but he needs to show it a few more times before anybody's convinced that he's the guy.
What have you thought of Wentz, Bob? And if he is able to tough it out, I would assume he'd be at least limited in terms of his mobility, which is a big part of his game. How big of a deal, you know, how limited or how limiting would that be if he's playing but, you know, basically has to stay in the pocket?
Well, if he has to stay in the pocket, this offensive line, which you know, in their defense, they've been beat up. You know, Eric Fisher, the left tackle, played his first game off of an Achilles tear last week. Their right tackle, Braden Smith, has been injured. He hasn't played since week one. But if he's stuck in the pocket and this offensive line doesn't get its act together, he's dead meat back there. Now, I realize that Tennessee, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tennessee doesn't have a pass rush, if I'm not mistaken. So it may be weakness against weakness. But I just have a feeling this is going to be one of those weeks where the offensive line has had enough of the nonsense. They play well. They run the ball. Carson, you ask about Carson. He's been perfectly fine. He's not trying to play hero ball. He's been playing smart. He's been playing fairly conservative. A couple of shots down the field. Of the Colts' 20 problems, I think Carson Wentz is the 20th.
If they, regardless of this week, you know, you've got, like you said, you've got guys trying to get healthy on the offensive line. Jonathan Taylor, there were some great backs. If all the things broke well for the Colts, you know, Darius Leonard looks more like Darius Leonard. You know, you get healthier in the secondary too. Do you think this is an AFC contender?
I do. Look, do I think they're up there with Kansas City and Buffalo and teams of that nature? I don't. And I don't even know that they can win the division. You know, I could see them being a wild card team, especially after this slow start. And look, their schedule to start is brutal. I mean, they had Seattle, L.A. Now they got Tennessee at Miami, and at Baltimore to start the season.
Wow.
It's not totally inconceivable they could be 1-4, 0-5, at which point, you know, you're looking through the record book and trying to decipher how many 0-5 teams have made the playoffs. Now, in 2018, they started 1-5, and they won 9 of their last 10 and made the playoffs. So I'm not pushing the panic button yet. I think there is talent here, but, you know, they need a healthy Wentz. They need to get a couple of other guys, healthy, and they just got to be better in the red zone.
They need to see Urban Meyer. They need the Urban Meyer life jacket, you know. But that's coming. That's coming later.
That's right. Bob Kravitz from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Bob, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time this morning to join us.
Okay, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Absolutely. Bob Kravitz from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. I think my favorite line that Bob had there, if it's Jacob Eason on Sunday, prayer may be in order.
I know Bob was asking me about like where to go for barbecue, and now but I don't blame him. I don't blame him for not showing up. But you know, here's the thing though.
Oh man, it's gonna be a big game for Jacob Eason
goes
on Sunday.
For like 320-3.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and the Colts when we come back on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play, and that's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. Thursday night, a great opportunity to do so. And all you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Carolina and Houston in action. Give me the over on Christian McCaffrey's total yards, and give me Carolina on the money line in this game. But you take it any way you want to take it. One of the many reasons I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook, it's easy to use. It's America's number one sportsbook, and they get you your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, also claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win in the Monday night game between Philadelphia and Dallas. Just sign up with promo code ROB, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Tim on YouTube: I love seeing Joe Rex Road in last place in our fantasy football league.
Duh.
Nice little dig at Rex Road on Wednesday. Good stuff.
Yeah, that was a tough loss. Auto pick my nose? What is it? Tim,
I'll pick my nose.
That is Tim's
team.
That's
Tim.
Okay, so I see. Yes. Now it all makes sense, Tim. Hey, good win for you. Tough loss for me. I thought Derrick Henry would pull me to victory. I had a big lead, but when you're counting on the Detroit Lions to hold a fantasy lead for you and going against like Devontae Adams, yeah.
Probably not going to work.
Tough spot. So 0-2. So Brennan, again, all I really care about is that I am better than Brennan.
Correct.
And he's 1-1.
He's 1-1.
All right. Well, we're okay. Not just like Bob Kravitz with the Colts. I'm not pushing the panic button yet.
That's right. Ben on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kravitz neglected to mention that the offensive line as a whole has been banged up all training camp and hasn't been able to gel. Nelson and Kelly are also dealing with injuries, and I fear as a Colts fan for Wentz's health until they can get things right in front of him. He's right in stating Carson has been far from the Colts' problems. He's been great getting the ball down the field. I would say it's probably accurate to fear for Wentz's health, considering that he may not play.
Yeah. Well, Bob mentioned the injuries, I thought, didn't he?
Yeah.
He certainly specifically mentioned Fisher, who, of course, big hopes on him, but you got to expect him to take a little bit of time and things like that. So, I think both of these offensive lines. Now, Taylor Lewan has to be part of it.
Correct.
Both of them could be very good. You got some injuries and different things, starting out a little bit slow. But I agree with Bob that's the Colt. Whether Wentz is in or not, I agree with him on both. From what I've seen, and I watched a lot of the Rams-Colts game. Wentz was good. Wentz got the ball out fast. The shovel pass thing, his guy gets chipped, and, you know, it's just a – I hate the play. Unless it was completed for a touchdown, then I love the play.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he's been good. I think the Carson Wentz that I've seen so far, I do think if he can run around like he likes to do, gives them a little bit more potential than they had last year with old man Rivers.
Well, Jordan texting in saying, looks like Carson is going to be running the Rivers playbook if he can play Sunday. Just stay in there. Don't move.
Well, and just like ding, 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 right?
The return of that.
It worked against the Titans last year.
It did.
So, yeah, it just the more I, as each day, and today we'll know a lot more, it's hard for me to believe he's not going to try to give it a go.
We'll find out beginning today. Jacob from Murfreesboro on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've seen too many Titans-Colts games to feel comfortable about a win. Jacob Eason is certainly able to conjure the ghosts of Curtis Pater, Josh Freeman, and Ryan Lindley. I toss Orlovsky in there, too. This is coming from Jacob in Murfreesboro.
Yeah, I think all those guys are better quarterbacks than Jacob Eason. But, yeah, but I hear you. Don't sleep on Curtis Painter. Boiler up.
Yeah. Heidi from Dixon texting in. The Titans might win this division with a worse record than all three wildcard teams.
Well, they might, or they might.
They might go 13-4.
Yeah, like be really good. That's possible, too. I don't know. That's, you know, 1-5, as Bob pointed out. I forgot they were 1-5. I remember that they'd made a huge run, of course, that got to the win and in. Whoever, you know, game here at Nissan Stadium, Mariota can't play. Let's also remember the Houston Texans of, was it? It wasn't the same year, right? Or was it the same year that the Texans were 0-3? It was one of those years.
I think
that
was the same year.
Yeah, so the Texans won the division after starting 0-3, and the Colts got in after starting 1-5. I think the Colts are going to, again, Wentz, healthy, that's the biggest question. His play has been good. But if they have that all together, I think I agree with Bob. I think that eventually they are a dangerous team.
Caleb texting in says, Titans minus 19.5. I can't wait for Call Your Shot Friday, so I'm doing one now. So Caleb setting the line at Titans minus 19.5.
Hey, Caleb. So I offered to wash a car of who was that who said that they said Florida was going to win, didn't they?
I thought they said Tennessee was going to lose.
Oh, no, Tennessee was going to lose to Tennessee Tech.
That's right. Oh, that's what it was, Tennessee Tech. Yeah. Ooh,
yeah,
see
even
how
worse.
That one went.
Yeah, so I feel really good about – now, this isn't that extreme. That was ridiculous.
Yes.
But I will – I mean, I'll vacuum your car if
you're going to get yourself in trouble one of these days because one of these things is going to happen, and you're going to have to vacuum somebody's car.
That's fine. I don't mind vacuuming cars. If the Titans win by 3 touchdowns or more, I'll vacuum your car. There's no way. This is going to be a good football game.
Now, there's Jacob, no way.
Well, okay.
I can see a way.
If Jacob Eason plays the whole game, then I think the Titans will win comfortably.
Yeah.
3 touchdowns
comfortably?
I mean,
comfortably? He could throw 2 pick-sixes, dude.
Good. He can throw the ball like 90 yards. So.
Yeah, can.
Throw it over those mountains.
That's right. Logan texting in, One Direction, never again. Logan, not a big fan of One Direction, apparently.
And I texted back, Logan, no, we're going to do a little bit more One Direction, okay?
That's right. Logan also saying, if the Titans start fast, they will win easily, but the longer they let the Colts hang around, the less likely it is that the Titans win.
I think Bob hit it there. Why? Why have they had such trouble in this rivalry? Yeah, probably Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck are the first two reasons. But is there some kind of a psychological issue for the Titans when they play them here? They really played poorly in the opener, the home opener 2 years ago.
Right. But, I mean, how many of these guys – I mean, this is a different team than even a year ago. Like, I don't really buy into the mental edge stuff in the NFL level. Like, I think in college that's more of a thing. Like, for instance, when Alabama's rolling in, I think there are teams that lose the game to Alabama before the game even begins because they look across and they say, oh, my goodness, there's Alabama.
Yeah, but they're right because it's also way better players.
Exactly. I mean, it's the NFL, though. Like, I don't really – I don't think that there's anybody on the Titans thinking to themselves this week, oh my goodness, it's the Colts coming to Nissan Stadium. What are we going to do? We always play so bad. Like, I just don't think that's a thing at the NFL level.
The only way I think it can be a thing is that, really, it's us, is that if in a given week that's all anybody talks about and that's all you're being asked about and stuff like that, I do think sometimes that can have, like, it can have, like, a, like, almost a, you know, foreshadowing effect. I mean, it can creep into the minds of people. But for the most part, I agree with you. It is wild. Of those wins, okay, you can't really quibble with, like, Mariota's hurt and you got Blaine Gabbert. You know, last year the Titans had their chances early and they really couldn't take advantage.
Is that the Trevor Daniel game?
That was. Yeah. Totally changed the game, and you know, they couldn't stop Rivers. But man, 2 years ago, Jacoby Brissett comes in here. It's a big day, it's home opener. The flame machine tips
set the
over.
Field on fire.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett throws for 146, and they win. But he throws for 3 touchdowns. By the way, can you tell me who the Titans' leading receiver was in that 1917 loss?
No, I cannot.
How about a little Delanie Walker? 4 catches, 39
okay.
yards.
There you go. Well, sign him up.
Yeah, there you go. Bring him back. It's only been 2 years. That one was like, really?
That was pretty bad. But who was the quarterback in that game?
Well, let's see. 19 for 28, 154, a touchdown, no picks. See, that was one of those. So that day for Mariota, your guy, got sacked 4 times, and that was definitely a seeing ghosts day for Mariota. I remember specifically that day especially, I was like, man, he is really – putting those eyes down really early. And again, he got sacked 4 times, so the pass rush was coming, but that was one of those days you're like, ooh, you're not sure.
He's feeling it a little bit.
The year before, he'd had all the issues, the neck, and all, you know, all those different things, and you started to see it that day.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the Colts. Can the Titans bury the Colts with a win on Sunday this early into the season? We'll debate that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Later this morning, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camaranda Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game tonight, you win a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Streaming live today and every day on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. So, Joe, as we know, a massive game coming up on Sunday for the Titans against the Colts. Anytime the Titans and the Colts get together, the implications are big. The Colts are 0-2, Titans 1-1. I think you and I would both agree that despite Houston's beginning to the season where they win the first game against Jacksonville, they actually looked okay against Cleveland, too, for a little bit in that game before losing now at 1-1. I think you and I would both agree that still the biggest threat to the Titans in the division is the Indianapolis Colts. So I ask you this. You heard the schedule from the Colts that Bob Kravitz rattled off earlier. It's very tough. If the Titans can get a win on Sunday and improve to 2-1 and the Colts are 0-3, can you bury a team like the Colts this early into the season?
No.
How big is this game on Sunday?
I don't think so at all. It's a bad spot. Spot they don't want to be in, for sure. And, yes, the history of 0-3 teams making the playoffs is light. By the way, it includes, I think, the best Detroit Lions team that Barry Sanders ever played on in 1995. They ended up 10-6, and I thought they were going to the Super Bowl, and then they lost by like a million to the Eagles but in the playoffs. But it was Brett Perriman, Herman Moore, all that stuff, Scott Mitchell. But the Houston Texans from a few years ago did it, and I think this team is good enough to bounce back. Again, it's just the Wentz staying in one piece part. That's where because I don't think it would bury them. Like, if you're Frank Reich, you could look at this and say, well, I could throw Carson Wentz out there and jeopardize more weeks, or do we need to be smart and really get healthy, get this O-line healthy, and still be the team that we think we can be? Let's remember, they've got four. I mean, that tough schedule means it does get lighter later. You know, you got four against the Texans and Jags. And I see, you know, the Texans are better than we thought. But I like the chances playing.
Well, I thought the Jags, Jags might be able to sneak up and get a few wins this year against people. And they still might, but they look pretty bad, man.
They look bad. I mean, Urban, this is very much going to test the whole – all the people who say that he can't handle this much losing. That you just – even if you have a good team in the NFL, you know, you lose six games. Like, he can't handle that. This is really going to test the – how much does Urban want to hang in with this year.
So, when it comes to the Colts, I agree. I mean, I don't think a loss on Sunday just totally buries the Colts, and I think their schedule is going to get easier. I will say, though, you know, I think the game plan, if you're the Titans defensively on Sunday, is pretty simple. I mean, you have to stop the run. If you can stop and slow down their rushing attack, I think you're probably going to be okay against this team. And look, I think if given the choice, I would rather make Carson Wentz prove that he can beat me through the air anyway, if he's completely healthy. So I think it is key this week, whether it's Jonathan Taylor or Hines coming out of the backfield. I mean, whatever. You've got to stop the rushing attack this week if you're the Titans. They did a good job last week on Chris Carson. This will be a different challenge this week against Indy.
Yeah, and Indy's good. If you watch the Rams game, what I really liked about it is, of course, the Rams came in saying the same thing. Like, this team is going to want to run the ball on us. That's what they are. They don't want our offense on the field. And Indy came out, and it was boom, boom, quick hitter.
Yep.
You know, first down passing, get Wentz in a rhythm, short passes, just take the quick stuff, and then mix in the run and move down the field. It was a really – some nice bounce drives, and then you botch it in the red zone. But it's – yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, if Wentz is in there, they've got that ability to be bounced. I agree with you. I mean,
if he can stand on 2 feet, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I'd rather take my chances because they still – I mean, I think the problem with Colts is I really like just about everything about the roster, but we still need to see receivers emerge.
I think Pittman's a good player.
Pittman is good, and you know, will Paris Campbell become? You know, but right now they're not what they've been there, and then at corner they're not great. So, but I think that they will be tough to deal with if Wentz is on the field and just able to even just. Get the ball out fast. Look, I never understood the you know, oh, this is great for the Titans that the Colts got Wentz, other than if he ends up, you know, missing 6-7 games this year and that costs him the division. Well, there you go. That's why. But as a player, he's still pretty effective. I think he's already demonstrated that, like, last year was so much about not being able to stand upright at all.
Well, and that's supposed to be the strength of the Colts, and so far through two games, it's not been. You would assume, with the amount of investment that they have in that line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball, that that's going to change at some point. Now, if you're the Titans, you're hoping it's not this week. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. Can the Titans generate any sort of pass rush against Indy? I mean, I think they've had their moments through the first couple of games, and regardless of whether or not Wentz is healthy or if he's not healthy, the challenge of trying to bring down Carson Wentz is different than trying to bring down Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. And not to say that Wentz can't move around, because he can. I would question at this point how much he's going to be able to move around on Sunday. And regardless, I think if you can generate a pass rush, you got a much better chance of getting home against Carson Wentz than you do Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, so, well, I agree. I mean, at least if he plays, you got to think it's not going to be Carson Wentz making big plays with his feet like he has so many times in his career. And so you got to think from Indy's perspective, thinking in terms of last year's game when you won here, and it was get it out, swing pass to the back, quick slant, just keep getting it out. I mean, this is a situation where, like, I would like to see the Titans be very aggressive at the line of scrimmage. Again, it's not as simple as just press all the time, you know, like, after last year, I get why people are like, they've got to be more aggressive. They do in general. But this in particular, this game with those receivers, with that situation, I think you'd like to see those corners be really aggressive.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Henry texting in, both offensive lines are dealing with injuries. Both defenses are questionable. This may come down to an awesome day by Henry or Bullock. So the game, in Henry's opinion, being put in the hands of Derrick Henry or Randy Bullock.
Okay. It looks like Randy's going to be kicking.
Looks like he's going
to
be on the team.
I mean, it's a week-to-week thing.
Yeah.
Looks like he's got a job this week.
Looks like he's good to go. I feel good about Randy Bullock after last week. As good as you can about a Titans kicker, I feel good about Randy Bullock.
He was fine. They're drifting. They're drifting right on him.
Yeah.
But, hey, he only missed one.
Hey. Jordan, resident Colts fan on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If Frank Reich gets trigger happy on the fourth downs, y'all will win easily. Reich needs to start taking points. So I guess maybe Reich a little too aggressive, in Jordan's opinion?
Yeah. Whenever it doesn't work. That's pretty much – he's been that way, right, for the most part. I mean, I feel like he's largely an aggressive guy on fourth down.
I want to say like three or four times last year in the game here.
Yeah.
He went for it on fourth down, and they got it like every single time. It's like, oh, look there. Converting another fourth down. It's fourth and one.
Yeah, that was – you know, that game was I think it was underrated how well they did against Derrick Henry. And obviously the game changed in the punt stuff. But, man, the Titans defense in every aspect looked just helpless to stop that offensive line from getting push. And then, obviously, just the million paper cuts from Phillip Rivers.
There was that. Hey. Don't have to worry about Phillip Rivers doing that to you this year.
Coaching high school football.
Coaching a little high school football.
How's that? How's his team? Are they good?
I mean, I would assume. They won the first game. I know that because I saw the interview that he did after.
How many of his kids play for the team?
I think it's the whole roster.
All nine of them.
Good for him.
That's right. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dennis texting in, did you see Wentz's ankle injury? The way it bent, yes. I'd be impressed if he played.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if he's – I mean, because you look at that replay and it's just like, oh, my God. But then he's walking around. They don't – I mean, obviously, it wasn't as serious as it looked like it should have been.
Right.
So.
By the way, the Colts last year in that game, 3 of 5 on fourth down.
Okay.
So, went for it 5 times on fourth down.
The Titans did stop him twice.
Yeah.
We should apologize as a show.
We should.
To that defense. That 2020 – vintage Titans defense.
It's not as bad as we thought, although that's a 60% conversion rate.
Yeah, still pretty good.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and Colts when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
When you face a Derrick Henry, is there a goal in mind as far as whether it's touches, yards per attempt? What's the general goal on a player like him?
Yeah, I mean, what you're trying to do there is and again, every team's trying to do the same thing. You know, as you look at all the defenses and defensive coordinators across the league, you know, everybody will say the same thing. You know, hey, limit the explosive runs. You know, get him to stop his feet in the hole, and they'll, you know, gang tackle. Everybody will say the same thing. You know. Try to get him to go backwards or sideways, and you know, in the run game, and easier said than done, you know, and those guys, everybody will say that, you know, and that's what we have to do is play as a unit and play as a defense to be able to limit his plays.
That was Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus discussing the strategy of slowing down Derrick Henry. I love the question there. What's the general goal when it comes to Derrick Henry? Generally speaking, what are you trying to do to slow down that monster of a human being?
Talk about what you need to do to stop Derrick Henry. That would have been a better question.
Well, we need tackle. How'd that go? Well, look, I'll say this. The Colts did a good job on Derrick Henry in the first game last year. And then in the second game, they did not have DeForest Buckner. And you could tell that they did not have DeForest Buckner because I think Derrick Henry had they just kept handing the ball to him in that game. He might have ran for 380 yards.
Yeah. I mean, he wore them out in that place. But that is – I mean, I know it's way more complex than just, you know, one guy missing or not, but that guy means so much to that defense. I mean, that's one of the best pickups. It's one of the best moves that Chris Ballard has made to me. because they were kind of trending the wrong direction on D, and he makes them – a guy like that means so much to a defense. So it will be – and he's played well, and he's healthy, and there's no issues with him. So that's going to be really interesting. I'm expecting early Colts to be all over Derrick Henry. You know, it's a question of do you wear them down like you do so many other teams?
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe texting in, "I hate games like this. They seem like a win should happen for the Titans. However, history shows that they lay eggs when they play a team they should beat. I wonder if this week will be any different. I would not bet on the Titans to win this Sunday." This is coming from Joe on the text line. By the way, the Titans, 5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Interesting. So, as typically with this, especially now
now 5.5.
5.5, okay. So that means Vegas looks at the Titans as 2.5 points better than the Colts. I mean, basically, you're the 3 points for being at home. So, and that's, I think that's about right, I guess, at this point. But, you know, it's probably a good reminder. Like, this is still a very good football team. Indianapolis is a good team. So I don't look at this like, to the texter's point there on, you know, losing to teams you should beat. That's like when they had won 3 in a row a few years ago and they go play a bad Buffalo team and lose that game. Or, you know, some of these other games where, you know, even Jacksonville a couple years ago. This would not be that. This is still a good football team. Now, I guess this with Jacob Eason, okay, then it would be that.
It would be that.
And I'd look at that line to shoot up, too, if we find out Carson Wentz isn't playing.
Raymond on the text line says, "Can we open with something besides Derrick Henry to the left? Maybe a play action." I'd say that might be a good idea.
How about a naked boot and then someone comes upfield and Tannehill, you know, gets belted again? But no, I
think they just open 5 wide. Keep Henry off the field. Just go 5 wide.
Or how about have Henry split and go,
that'd be awesome.
He's the fifth. And just
I'm with
fire
you.
Away.
At some point, we need to see a Derrick Henry wheel route and just chuck it 40 yards downfield and see what he can do with it. He can go up and get it.
I mean, you get like a man look. And you can clear out one side of the field, and he's going against a linebacker down the sideline. Gotta try it.
Now, Josh texting in, "The first play of both games this season have been a run up the middle for nothing. I'd love to see a play-action bomb to start the game this week. If it works, Derek may go for 250 after that." A lot of people really rooting for a play-action pass first play of the game. Hey, I'd be here for it. We talked about the importance of establishing the play-action game. I'd like to see it.
I was going to say, we get Todd Downing tomorrow, so I'll ask him what the first play will be. Maybe they should they've done this before, like let a fan call a play. Let the fans call the first play.
Yeah.
Play-action bomb. You're counting on your QB to be able to set up.
Dennis texting in, "The Titans should always start with a long bomb on the first play, at least as a warning shot. So just every game, they're going deep, baby."
Make a little statement. Maybe if they still had Khalif Raymond. Who, by the way, made some nice plays for the Detroit Lions the other night. Good to see him as a starting receiver in the NFL.
Way to go, Khalif.
I mean, it might be the only place where he could be a starting receiver in the NFL, but he is a starting receiver in the NFL.
Kevin texting in, "Home field is only worth about a point, a maximum of 2, but really just a point."
I thought it was generally agreed upon that home field is about a 3-point.
That's what I've always thought. But maybe Keith's right.
I want some data.
Excuse me, Kevin. I don't know why I said Keith.
Keith hasn't had a pun for us yet today.
Keith, give us a fun name.
That's right. Dime Soul 2020 on YouTube says, "Chris Jackson at the slot and move Molden to strong safety. Molden just doesn't have the long speed to play in the slot."
Yeah, I suppose you could, with your safety situation, you could tinker a little bit. I've heard there's been a whole bunch of talk about Molden to safety. I haven't seen a single snap from him there. So I'm guessing a rookie who I think his profile fits the slot perfectly. I think he's going to be the long-term slot. You're gonna start training him at safety right now? It's not just like, hey, move back there and play there, you know? And then you're going to feel comfortable doing that in a game? I doubt it.
Probably not.
Probably not. There we go.
I never knew how much we'd use that drop for when the time came, but it really is the gift that keeps on giving.
Probably
Thank you, Mike.
Not.
It's been great.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
When we get him back on the show.
Yeah, exactly. I expected every week and maybe twice a week in big games.
Joe can ask me
maybe
today.
We can get him on Thursday and Friday of this week.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Thomas texting in. I hope we start looking to check out of runs if Julio and or AJ have single coverage. That is when we will become very, very hard to stop.
Well, Tannehill, you know, made some changes at the line, which was not easy in that environment, by the way. He made some changes, both into passing and into runs. Well, I mean, I don't know what the original call was, so could be just into a different thing, but with the same type of play. But there are some moments where they had single safety, middle of the field, and Julio being pressed on the left. I'm sitting there next to TD. It's like, just go there. I don't care. Whatever the play call is, just one move, and you got to love your chances. So I think there's opportunities. And you know how it is. It's when you play a team that up front can handle what you're doing, you know, then obviously they're going to devote more resources to stopping those guys on the outside. The Colts might be a team like that. But if teams play them the way the Seahawks did, I think that there were more opportunities to take shots than they did.
I would expect a big response from A.J. Brown on Sunday. Obviously, with the drops, credited for three. I thought maybe four. But credited with three drops on Sunday. I would expect that he comes out and plays very well on Sunday. He catches the ball and is a big factor in this game. That would be my guess heading into this. Very rarely do you see two bad games in a row from A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and also, so he's coming off those drops. And then, of course, last year in this game, he had the one drop that that really stands out from last year, for the team.
And the Colts.
Was that drop against the Colts early. I think they would have been up 14-0 then. Is that right?
That is correct.
So, yeah, I would expect him to play better. I mean, the first drop was a Jamal Adams drop because Tannehill kind of put him in harm's way and he kind of short-armed it a little bit. But, even that, you want to see him go get it and take the hit. And it's not like, I mean, in today's NFL that you're going to take the same hit that you would have taken back in the day.
Seth texting in on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fans are so impatient. Pound the rock with Henry. 1 yard pickups in the first half, set up 20 plus yarders in the second half. So Seth has no time for the play action pass. Just pound the rock.
Well, I agree that there's still value in running some, and I agree that the ones and twos become fives and sixes, but I think it's also okay to keep a defense off balance and mix it up and be balanced. And yeah, I think the Titans did a better job of that in week two. And I just don't think run, pass on third and seven, punt is the formula Sunday.
I don't think so either. Joe texting in, how dangerous would the Titans offense be if they can consistently have Derrick Henry catch balls out of the backfield? That was definitely part of the game on Sunday. Is the check down going to be there to Henry more often? Is that something that we're going to see more in this Titans offense? That's going to be interesting to see as they go forward here.
Yeah, he had some great pass pro reps too.
Yep.
Picking up blitzers, but he was able to leak out. And I totally agree. The guy has worked hard on it. You can see the results of the work. And I just feel like, I mean, the running game, so often he's gang tackled, just like Eberflus talked about.
Yep.
He doesn't have space. He has to carve out space on his own at times. If you can get him the ball with just a little bit of space and he can get a little bit of momentum going, at the very least, someone's going to be punished for tackling him and he might make a big play.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line when we come back, including some moves made in the secondary yesterday for the Titans as well. All that coming up next. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Zach Brown Band at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, October 17th? Well, if you do, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Zach Brown Band. One winner will be chosen on Monday, September 27th. We'll be right back taking more of your thoughts on the Titans here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game.